I want to have our scripture reading just now, and it is again from the Psalm 23. We've been looking at this psalm for a couple of Lord's days together, and Dr. Douglas is going to read that psalm again for us, and it's the recording that we had from a couple of weeks ago.
We turn today to a very familiar portion of the Word of God. It's Psalm 23. It's a psalm for every occasion. A psalm for those days when we walk through the shadow of the valley. It's a psalm also for the mountain top. It's a psalm that would not be out of place at a wedding. At the same time, it contains that word of comfort for the occasion when we must walk through the valley of the shadow. It's a psalm with a very positive message, even at the beginning, for one to say, the Lord, the unchanging covenant-keeping God, is my shepherd. Well, if that be the case, it can be said also, I shall not want. That is a negative of the strongest character, whereby we can say with greatest emphasis, I shall not want. Let us turn together then to the Word of God. We shall turn to this God-breathed Word, this book of books, this Word of life. The psalm begins, as you remember, with the words, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. We know the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word and our meditation upon it too.
Can I invite you to turn with me again to the Psalm 23, the psalm that has been read for us by Dr. Douglas just a short time ago. And it's good for us to take up God's word again and to look at it together. We have drawn attention already to the setting of this psalm and to the psalm on either side of Psalm 23. Psalm 22 is the psalm of grace, and you would read there of the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there he is, the good shepherd who giveth his life for the sheep. And then you have Psalm 24 on the other side, which is the Psalm of glory. And the Lord lives in glory at this moment, and he has promised that he's coming in glory. And in Psalm 24, he is the chief shepherd who shall appear. But we are returning again to the 23rd Psalm, which is the Psalm of guidance, speaking about the life of the sheep and that blessed relationship and union with the shepherd. And here we see the Lord as the great shepherd of his people, the one who rose again and the one who gives life to his sheep. And so today, as we have thought already in verse 1 about the shepherd, we've identified the shepherd as the Lord Jehovah, and we've thought about the sheep. I want today to take as my text the words of verse 2, and we're looking at the Lord's provision for his sheep. Verse 2 reads, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." God's provision for his sheep. Let's just unite together in prayer as we come to consider these words together and pray that the Lord will bless them to each of our hearts. Our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for the Word of God, and we praise Thee for that inspired truth, and that we can open up the Scriptures, O God, and we can meditate upon Thy Word. And we do pray that we would know help from heaven. We would know the blessed Holy Spirit of God Himself to draw alongside us, to be our teacher, to enlighten our minds and our hearts, and that Thou wouldst lead us, O God, according to Thy Word. We pray for a submissive and for a receptive heart. We pray, O God, for that desire to be fed upon the things of God, and that Thou wouldst be pleased, O God, to come and even defeat the powers of darkness, put the evil one to flight. And even this day, O God, that Thy Word as it goes forth might know the blessing of the Triune God to be upon it. Close us in now, each one to Thee. We offer this our prayer in the Saviour's most precious and peerless name. Amen. Well, David was a man of greatness in many different ways. He had a military brilliance that was up there with the best of them. He had great leadership skills and qualities. He proved himself to be a man of ability. The Scriptures would refer to David as the man after God's own heart. We could say that few have equaled the caliber of David. And yet here in this psalm, the best loved perhaps of all of the psalms, David is taking a very humble place. And he puts himself in the position of being a sheep. David, the man of greatness, the man of ability, just describes himself here in this psalm as a sheep in need of a shepherd. And we thought last time about the sheep, and particularly the possession of the sheep. The sheep are owned by the shepherd. The sheep belong to the shepherd. And we took time to note just how we, as God's people, we are His people, the sheep of His pasture, and we belong to Him. And we belong to Him in that threefold way. We have been given to Him. The Father gave those sheep to His Son. We have been bought by the Lord. Bought by our shepherd. He's the one who redeemed us, and the price was His own precious blood. And of course, He saved us. And therefore, we belong to Him. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. And we have to glorify God in our body and in our spirits, which are His. And so there was the possession of the sheep, and then we thought about the character of the sheep. And as we thought about the character, the nature of the sheep, we could see so much of ourselves. We're just like the sheep. We have to put ourselves in this position. And then we thought briefly about the life of the sheep. And taking our thoughts from John chapter 10, which is like the New Testament commentary upon Psalm 23. And in John chapter 10, the Lord speaks there about being the shepherd, and He refers to His sheep. He says, "My sheep hear My voice. I know them, and they follow Me." The characteristics of the life of the sheep, they're known by the shepherd. "I know them," the Lord says. And they hear the voice of the shepherd. They hear My voice. Not the voice of a stranger. A stranger will they not follow. No, when they're known of the Lord and they hear the voice of the Lord, His sheep follow Him. And that's what we should ever seek to do with purpose of heart, to follow hard after the one who is our shepherd. And we can think today about the great privilege that it is just to be counted as one of the Lord's sheep, to be in the family, to be in the fold of God, to be in the flock of God. And today as we come to the second verse of this psalm, and we're moving into the main body of the psalm, but today just concentrating our thoughts upon the second verse, we're seeing something of the outworking of the great statement, the great profession that was made in the first verse, where David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And we have now the proving of that, the unfolding of that great statement that David has made of having the Lord as his shepherd and of not wanting. And so as we think about these words today, God's provision for his sheep, I want you to notice with me, firstly, the shepherding of the sheep. When you look at verse 2, it says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, he leadeth me beside the still waters." David uses the word "he," and we know that that word "he" is a reference back to verse 1. It's a reference to the shepherd. And remember, the shepherd is the Lord Jehovah, the Lord God Almighty. And David, right away, when he wants to prove that he will not want and he will not lack, he's referring to the work of the shepherd and what the shepherd does in shepherding the sheep. He's taking care of the sheep. He's meeting all of the needs of his sheep. The primary meaning of that title, shepherd, it carries the thought of feeding. And in fact, most often in the scriptures, that's how the original word is translated. It's translated to feed. We have made reference already in this study to Genesis chapter 48. And there, when we read of Jacob blessing his sons in the verse 15 of Genesis chapter 48, "And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day." Jacob makes reference there to the God who fed me. And that word "fed" there is the same word that's translated "shepherd." And so we can see that that word "shepherd," it means to feed, and that, as we say, is the primary meaning of the word. And Jacob here is wanting to pay tribute to the Lord's faithfulness. And he's saying, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the God who shepherded me, the God who fed me. That's the central role of the shepherd, is to feed. But there's another meaning to that same word. It's not only shepherding and feeding, but it's keeping the sheep. And David himself in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and the verse 34, he is the one who is the shepherd in the context. 1 Samuel 17 and the verse 34, "And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him." And there, when you look at verse 34 and you see the word "kept," and David refers there to the keeping of his father's flock, that's the same word. The word that's translated "shepherd," the word that's translated "feed," is the word also translated "kept." And in the context here of 1 Samuel 17, that word "kept" has to do with guarding and protecting the sheep. And David would give examples of how he would protect the flock of his father. There's another aspect to this shepherding as well. And in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah's prophecy, and in the third chapter, he translates this word another way. He uses this word another way. In Jeremiah chapter 3 and the verse 15, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." And as the Lord is giving this promise to his people here through Jeremiah the prophet, he's promising to give them pastors. And the word pastors there again is the same word. And so it's to shepherd, to feed, to keep, to pastor. And in Jeremiah 3:15, you can see the role, the work of the pastor, which shall feed you. And that word feed is the same word again. So you have the two uses of the word in the same verse. To pastor and to feed. You could look further over in Jeremiah to the chapter 23. And it's worth just taking a moment to read those opening verses, verses 1 to 4, because there are some strong words here for pastors. "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord, and I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord." And then the wonderful promises there that the Lord gives of his people, that he will set up as shepherds and pastors over them that shall feed them, to the extent that the end of that fourth verse says, "Neither shall they be lacking." Neither shall they be lacking. Here's the shepherd shepherding his sheep to the point that they shall not lack. That takes us back again to Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack." The Lord is the one who fulfills that role and does that work for his people, that they will not be lacking. If you noticed, as Dr. Douglas came to read Psalm 23, with his introductory remarks, he referred there to verse 1 and to the strength of the negative. And the negative there is put in the strongest possible way. It actually stands alone there in verse 1. We could say there are two parts to verse 1. The first part, "The Lord is my shepherd." The second part, "I shall not want." And when it comes to the second part of that verse, the negative is put first in the original. And so you could actually read verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, never shall I want. Never shall I want." You see, the Lord Jehovah, who is our shepherd, is able to meet all the needs of his people. David comes to the second verse to prove that, and to say, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." He's highlighting the work of the shepherd who is shepherding his sheep, caring for his sheep, meeting all the needs of his sheep, providing for his sheep. But we notice not only here the shepherding of the sheep, but the supply of the sheep, the supply from the shepherd. Look at our text of Scripture. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. If you have a margin in your Bible and you're able still to read the margin with the very fine print, you could see there that green pastures has a reference in the margin, and that it could be translated pastures of tender grass. And so green pastures is a reference to pastures of tender grass, or we could say new grass or fresh grass. That's what the Lord is supplying for his sheep. There's also a reference in the margin to the still waters. And still waters could be translated waters of quietness. Waters of quietness. And so it's not the raging stream that's flowing down the mountain at a pace and making a great noise. No, it's the still, quiet waters. And you can see with the words of verse 2 that they are painting for us a very beautiful picture. And there's the sheep, and it's being cared for, and it's able to graze upon the fresh new grass, the green pastures. It's enjoying the nourishment there. It's able to come and to drink from the still, quiet waters. And there's strength there for the sheep. There's nourishment. There's refreshment there for the sheep. All their needs are being met through the care of a loving shepherd. And remember, the sheep are God's people. Those who belong to the Lord, those who are the redeemed of the Lord, those who have come to trust and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and God's people have needs. And the Lord is promising through the words of this psalm to meet the needs of his people. And we could speak about material needs, and we could speak about those temporal needs, and the Lord himself makes reference to such in the Gospel of Matthew in the chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, he would say in verse 31, "Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we eat?" There's the food. Verse 31 goes on to say, "Or what shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed?" We could say they're basic material, temporal needs that everyone has, including God's people, the need for food. And if we were wanting to speak of the clothing as fashion, the need to have clothes to put on. Verse 34, there's a reference to the future, the needs for the future. "Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself." And God's people have these needs, and we could add to them family needs, financial needs, maybe even fitness in relation to this illness that's spreading across the world and has been through every country. And so there are many needs there for God's people. But in Matthew chapter 6, you can see there from the verse 32, "Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things." Your heavenly shepherd knoweth you have need of all these things. And that's why the Lord would exhort his people there in verse 33. "Seek ye first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things that are needful and necessary, shall be added unto you. For the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Material and temporal needs, but we've indicated that Psalm 23 is primarily speaking about the spiritual need of the soul. And that's what David is referring to, using the figurative language, using the illustration of the sheep being able to feed upon the green pastures and to drink from the still waters. It's the Lord being our shepherd and being the bishop of our souls. The green pastures being likened on to the Word of God. God is able to bring us to fresh pastures in His Word. He's able to bring us to those great truths of the Bible. Open up new avenues of study for us to feed upon. The Lord leads us and directs us and gives us that necessary spiritual food for our souls. And I would encourage you, maybe you have more time on your hands than usual, given the restrictions that have been in place now for a couple of months. If you have more time, I encourage you to take up the Word of God and let the Lord lead you to those green pastures and study God's Word and take those truths into your heart, that your heart would be receptive to God's Word and that it would strengthen you spiritually. And we need to be strengthened spiritually in these days. And the shepherd is able to strengthen us by bringing us here to the spiritual food, the manna of God's Word, that we would feed upon His Word. And the still waters, commentators have likened the still waters to the Holy Spirit of God. And there are times in the Bible when the Holy Spirit is likened onto water, and especially the pouring out of water. Times of refreshing, times of blessing. The Lord opening up the windows of heaven and pouring out those showers upon us. Do you remember through the prophet Isaiah that the Lord promised His Spirit to His people? In Isaiah 44 and the verse 3, the Lord says, "For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground." And in the very same verse, the Lord goes on to explain what He meant when He said, "I will pour water to the thirsty and floods on the dry ground." He said, "I will pour my Spirit. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed." The promise to send the Holy Spirit of God was likened unto that outpouring of water, floods of blessing. There's our spiritual supply from our great shepherd. We can come to the green pastures of His Word. We can ask for the infilling and the outpouring of His Spirit. And we can know the blessing of the Lord. That comes from our shepherd. Therefore, feed upon His Word and pray to the Lord for that outpouring of His Spirit upon us. And so we're noticing today from Psalm 23 and the verse 2, the shepherding of the sheep and the supply for the sheep. But I want you to notice thirdly here, the satisfaction of the sheep. When you have the Lord as your shepherd, and you're not lacking, you can say, "He maketh me to lie down. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and He leadeth me beside the still waters." Many artists have tried to depict this. And it does paint a beautiful picture for us. It's a tranquil, it's an idyllic scene. And you think there of the sheep having been grazing from the green pastures and drinking from the still waters. They now come to lie down. They're coming to the place of rest and of peace. And it's a picture there of a sheep that is content and a sheep that is satisfied and a sheep that just comes to lie down there with that feeling of contentment and satisfaction. That's the Lord's doing for His sheep. He maketh me to lie down. I said that I didn't know much about sheep, but I've been reading again this past week a little bit more about sheep, and especially about sheep lying down. And I have learned that the shepherd knows the importance of the sheep lying down, but it's not always easy to get the sheep to lie down. There are certain times when the sheep will simply not lie down. And some of those times were suggested time of fear. They're very timid creatures, sheep. And therefore, if there's anything that causes them to fear, they will not lie down. Something that makes them fearful, something that upsets them, something that disturbs them, a fearful sheep will not lie down. And there again, we're just like the sheep. Something that troubles you. Something that's causing you to fear, child of God. You don't have that rest and peace and contentment. You don't have that satisfaction just at this present time. You can't lie down. We need the shepherd to deal with that fear. We need the shepherd to remove that fear. And our shepherd has promised to do that. Many fear nots that we have in the Bible. The Lord would say, "Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God." We know that the Lord will never leave, will never forsake His people. We have a loving shepherd who is present with us to dispel all our fears. But the sheep will not lie down if it's fearful. And we need to learn to come to rest in the presence of our Savior, knowing that He will never fail His sheep. But there's something else that makes the sheep not want to lie down. And it's friction, what we call friction. I have learned that in the flock of sheep, you could have one sheep that sort of thinks it's the boss of all the other sheep. And it's a sheep that will go round the flock and it will go from one to the other and it will disturb all of the sheep in the flock. The troublemaker in the flock, if you like. And it can go from one to the other until the whole flock is upset. And such a flock will not lie down. We can sometimes see there's friction in the church. Friction amongst the flock of God, amongst God's people. It's difficult to lie down in such a situation when you're disturbed like that. You have no peace and you have no rest. Thank God we have the shepherd to turn to. The one who's able to deal with all of these situations. But the sheep will not lie down if it's fearful or if there's friction. But there's something else, flies. If there are too many flies around the sheep, it's tortured by flies and even by other insects. And they come about and they can cause that sheep great agitation, that they can even become infected by those insects with different diseases and things that they can bring with them. Sheep that can be troubled with maggots that can eat away at them. And so if there's such a sheep that's agitated in such a way, it cannot lie down. It needs to have treatment to clear it of all of those things. And Christian, the commentator that I read, spoke about the flies of Satan that come and buzz about our heads. Those issues that seem to buzz within our minds and just don't want to go away. Things that will come and so disturb us. And things that will come and disturb the whole flock of God and cause that unrest. Whereas the sheep here in the Psalm 23, David himself, he's saying, "He maketh me to lie down." Our shepherd is able to deal with all of those things. A sheep that is famished will not lie down. A sheep that is hungry. It's only whenever the sheep has come to feed, to have its thirst quenched, to be satisfied, that it then lies down. And so the good shepherd knows that it has to deal with all of these things in order for that sheep to prosper, in order for that sheep to be content. And our loving shepherd is the one who can take care of all of those issues. You read the words of verse 2 very slowly. He maketh me. He maketh me to lie down. In other words, He causes me to lie down. He makes the circumstances such that I'm able to lie down. And He's able to give me that peace and rest and that assurance and that satisfaction in Him. We can lie down trusting in our Lord and in our Shepherd. I encourage you today to lie down in the Lord. I had to look it up just to check, but sheep, when they lie down, are chewing the cud. And therefore they have those different sections within their stomach for all of that digestive process to take place. I'll not go into detail as it's just before your dinner time. But when the sheep is lying down there, it's chewing the cud. And that, of course, is likened on to our times of meditation and devotion with the Lord. The believer can lie down and meditate and, as it were, chew over the things of God, the green pastures that we have read in His Word, the great truths of Scripture. We can feed upon the Word and then we can lie down and meditate upon that Word. And we can ask for the guidance and the infilling of the Holy Spirit of God. Our Shepherd is able to feed our hearts and nourish our souls. You meditate upon our Savior today. Paul encourages us to do that. Consider Him. Consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. But oh, to come to rest upon the Lord and to consider the finished work of Calvary and all that was accomplished for us in His great work of redemption, you'll come to peace. You'll come to satisfaction through our great Shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, for He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and He leadeth me beside the still, quiet, peaceful waters. May God bless His Word to each of our hearts today.